The topic of the Chabura for your campers this week is Jewish business ethics. Kosher isn't just about food. The concept is that we want to bring to them, and especially now that we've completed the series of shiurim on business ethics, we're done with it. Do I have more? There should be one more. Is there one more floating around? Yep. I don't know how this thing about things floating around. It's okay. So we finished our series. We spoke to them a little bit last week about that famous chinuch that now has become famous because I've received many comments about it, many meaning five, because it was featured on YU Torah. People told me I made a mistake. I wrote the minchas chinuch. Okay, yishkoyach, thank you for loving my shir. And I want to start off really with the springboard, is that everyone, and I hate to start with the springboard, but I think it's important, is that you want to show the guys how Torah is so practical and what we want to discuss. So last week, literally a week ago, there was a unfortunate Chil Hashem that was committed in the Lakewood area, and we all discussed this many, many times, the arrests, and that continues. And it happens to be, quite beautifully, there was an interview with Rabbi Aaron Cutler, obviously named for the famous Rav Aaron Cutler, the founder of the Lakewood Yeshiva, who's called like the CEO, I think, of the Lakewood Yeshiva, explaining why these are bad apples, this is not who we are. There's been other articles and people who have come out to tell the community, because there's been actually people who have said some very anti-Semitic things. See, this is what the Jews do. So the incident involved, you know, definitely a miut, but a strong miut, a good number of people who were arrested for stealing from the government. Shmo Keno, there's nothing to say about it. So what we want to try to sensitize our students this week is to speak students, excuse me, but campers, but to talk to them about the way things are supposed to be. I just got finished. I didn't listen to the whole thing, I'll admit to you. I was listening last night while I was waiting for my wife to finish Super OD. So I was listening to a shiur online. I don't know if it's so much of a shiur, I'll be honest with you. I don't remember the guy's full name. His name is Ruvain something. It was a little bit too chari for me, so I stopped listening after, you know, about an hour. He had like a 2.5 hour shiur. And he tells an amazing story about, and you certainly can tell over the story, he tells a great story about who he was. He's a Baal Tshuva. He's a Sephardic guy. He came to America at 10 years old from, you know, Syria, I guess, one of the Arab countries. And he made it big. It took him a long time, but he was one of the biggest stockbrokers, really day traders, things of that nature, in the firm that he worked in, the top three firms. And he literally was making millions of dollars. At his heyday, he made $500,000 a month. I mean, this guy was big. And he recognized through time that there was something wrong here. So the interesting point, at least that I heard from it, I didn't listen, as I said, to the whole lecture, but he brings in a lot of Torah. He's a little bit too chari for me. He's a follower, clearly, of some other famous speakers that I don't espouse to, so I was a little bit skewed. But he told over that he bothered him that he was a very generous person. Once he was making $500,000 a month, so he could be generous. So anytime a frum person came to his office for staka, he would always sit down with them and give them money. But he said, in all of the time, and you know, he gave the scenario. He says, you know, my office was open, you know, I'm just making up 300 days in the year. And there were, you know, every other day, there was 150 opportunities for a rabbi with a beard to come up to me instead of talking to me nicely and telling me a word on the parsha to say, hey, you're living a life as he kept saying the word. I don't think this is not true. You're living the life of a guy. You're a guy. You're basically a guy. Okay, I think it's a little bit extreme. But tell him, hey, you need to do better. Nobody ever said that to him. Why? Because they were happy to accept the check. And they knew if they did that, they would probably risk getting any donations. He said, I just wish somebody would have done it. It took me so many years for me to realize it myself. And he says there was one person who came and said something, and he was shocked by it, and he read a book, and it was about that if somebody who's not frum says a Kaddish, you shouldn't answer Yehishmei Rabbah because they don't really believe it, and he brings 50 sources why that person is like Ilu Ovid Avodah Zarah, and therefore he should answer. The point is that something did spark him, but unfortunately, it wasn't all these people, and it took him a long time. And he gave back a lot of the money, even though his business was good. He had a serious gambling issue, I guess you would call it. He would play only at $50,000 tables and above. He said, you know that you're in a bad situation when you come to the casino and they stop whatever they're doing and they open up a new table for you and they bring new people over to play with you. And he said, and he goes through the whole sugya over there, Mesachek Bekubia, those all stealing money. He's had to figure out how much money exactly he earned from that because it's stolen money. Mesachek Bekubia is called Asmachta, people, right? The whole sugya over there about whether or not it's usher or not. He tined it was totally usher. It's interesting because the Gemara there says it's usher because a person is involved, is not involved in the Olam. This is what his parnasa. This wasn't the guy's parnasa, but he was machmir himself, like Rav Adi Yosef. I think that's true, but that's machmir himself. Asmachta, that he's taking away people's money because they think that they're going to always win the money. And it's a beautiful story about a guy who realized and recognized, and now he's a guy sitting, I believe, in Yerushalayim and learning Torah. Okay? I don't know if he turned on the money. I didn't get to the end of the story. Here's another great story. And this is the first page of this booklet. And I think, again, as I said, I think these are perfect springboards. And I don't say you have to do every single source, but if you read this guy, just the story, it's kedai. The story is told, and this was written in many different secular newspapers and TV shows and so on and so forth. I don't know if this is from CBS as we know it. The CBS, the famous CBS. I'm not sure. It says on it CBS. And it's called The CEO and the Talmud. For years now, we've been hearing about corporate executives who made fortunes for themselves while driving their companies into bankruptcy, costing employees their jobs, sometimes their life savings. I remember years ago, Enron, all these different companies that obviously Madoff and things of that nature, where people basically, and unfortunately some of them were from, did everything that they could to make their own money at the expense not only of the people who invested with them, but their own employees in the company. They showed a tremendous amount of gaivadik, hate really, just didn't care. Last night we spoke about in their tish, v'haftal recha kamocha balak, right? Beis lamed kuf, it's not v'haftal recha, and the Abdurav said, you can't be so machbid, right? We have to love every single person. You have to realize and recognize, look what this gentleman did. This is not the case in Maiden Mills, a textile company in Lawrence, Massachusetts. Anybody here from Massachusetts? Boston? Okay, good. So he had a fabric company. As 60 Minutes reported last year, Malden Mills also filed for bankruptcy protection. But that's the only thing in common it has with Enron. And now we're going to talk about the story of Malden Mills, is known for going out of its way to help its employees, even when the company suffered shattering setbacks. Maury Safer, who's quite well known for hating, I think he's Jewish, self-hating Jew, hates so much of Israel, if you've ever seen any of his reporting against Israel. So this is surprising that he aired this story on 60 Minutes. A fire broke out in 1995 in Malden Mills. It was the largest fire Massachusetts has seen for a century. Baruch Hashem, nobody was killed. I wrote the Baruch Hashem. But the town was devastated. Malden Mills was a large employees in the town, and it was already in desperate straits. So people recognized already it wasn't doing well, the company. And now they had a fire, and all of Lawrence, Massachusetts was not Sahalo V'Samecha. The only thing that went through my mind was, how can I possibly recreate it, says the owner, Aaron, I'll call him Aaron, Feuerstein, a third generation to his family that ran the mill. I was proud of the family business, and I wanted to keep that alive, and I wanted that to survive. But I also felt the responsibility for all my employees to take care of them and to give them jobs. He made a decision, one that others in the textile industry found hard to believe. Feuerstein decided to rebuild right there in Lawrence, not to move down south or overseas, as much of the industry has done, and for cheaper labor. He also made another shocking decision. For the next 60 days, all employees would be paid their full salaries, which was quite impossible, guys. Okay? How would he go ahead? Come on, guys. This is it. This is why you're here. You're here to give chinuch on Shabbos. So please wake up. Please look into your sheets. This is what you should be doing. Okay? The whole reason why guys maybe don't go to chinuch. This is it. So look inside. He made another shocking decision. For the next 60 days, he paid all these employees in full. I think that it was a wise business decision, but that isn't why I did it. I did it because it was the right thing to do. Underline that line, it was the right thing to do. It wasn't necessarily a business smart thing to do. It was the right thing to do. Sheet. Is there another sheet? I made 60. Should be enough. All right, so look on with somebody. I made enough sheets. I don't know why there's not enough. I apologize. So some might have said that the proper business decision was to take this $300 million in insurance and retire. And what did he do with it? Eat more, buy another suit, retire and die? No, says Feuerstein. It didn't go into his mind. He had the ability to take the insurance money. This is such a common Yetzirah. $300 million rightfully his, and leave. And leave all the employees of Lawrence, Massachusetts and say, sorry, it didn't work out. Right before Christmas, see you later, bye-bye. He kept his promise. Workers picked up their checks for the month. There was nothing to do. They weren't working. 2 months free. He paid out $25 million and became known as the, ready for this, guys? The Mensch of Malden Mills. A businessman who seemed to care more about his workers than his net worth. The press loved the story. So did the politicians. President Clinton invited him to the State of the Union address as an honored guest. He received 12 honorary degrees, including one from Boston University. He became that rare duck, the businessman of the national hero. I got a lot of publicity, he said. And I don't think that it speaks well for our time, says Feuerstein. At the time, America is the greatest prosperity, the god of money, was taken over to the extreme. For the guidance, he turns to the Torah, the book of Jewish law. You are not permitted to oppress the workers. Halacha mefurish in the Shulchan Aruch, Gemara tells us, you have to be careful not to oppress the working man because he is poor, he is needy, amongst your brethren and amongst the non-Jews in your community, says Feuerstein, who spent $300 million of his insurance money, then borrowed another $100 million to rebuild the plant so that it's both environmentally friendly and worker friendly. I can't imagine a better example for our campers of a Kiddush Hashem than this great, amazing story about a person who risked everything, who said, money is not important to me. So we ask, when we ask our questions this Shabbos, so we say to them, what would you have got? Get a discussion started. What would you have done? What were the challenges that would have been? And then, of course, we quote the Gemara that we started our series of Shurim on. Amar Rava, b'shasha machnisim adam ladin, omer lo, nesata v'sata b'emuna, k'vai itim l'toira, aysek l'pir revivis, etim Yeshua, piltav l'chachma. So the Gemara in Shabbos, we remember, we said, as a machlokes with the other Gemara, I believe in Sanhedrin, which says, which one is it? Why is business more important than Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam? And we gave the answer of the Eliyahu Rabbah, which we won't repeat for the 12th time. But the concept is, this is why you're put on the earth. To do good. To go out and do something. You should be telling your campers this. Right? There are Yechidei Segula that should be sitting in the Beis Medrash. Wonderful, amazing. Should be involved in Chinuch, should be rabbis. That is amazing. But they should be working. Almost, controversially I'll say, there almost is no room for someone who just wants to learn Torah his whole life. No. Because I want you to do something, to be involved, to go out. To have a parnasa, not to beg from other people. If you take Mr. Feuerstein as an example, what he did, in my opinion, makes up for any yeshiva in the United States of America. The Kiddush Hashem. This Gemara shows our self and our campers, this is the ikur. The ikur is that we're honest people. That we believe when we get the biggest Yetzirah, which is our money, I think, that we treat it in such a way that it's not important to us. This guy who gave this lecture, this Reuven guy, so he said, one of the things that I realized in my life, which was the hardest thing to realize, is that Hashem provides me with money. He said, I almost had this feeling, this is a really an amazing statement from a person who was making $500,000 a month, I had a feeling like this. I believed in God, but I believed that God needed some help. That's what he said. With my parnasa. It wasn't enough. Okay, he did the best he could. But I'm going to try better. I'm going to do a little bit better for him. And look what I did for you, God. I helped you make me $500,000, of which I gave a few thousand dollars to Staka. It wasn't Machbid on 10 or 20%. That's what he believed. And he said he sees it as the biggest Yetzihara that there are all of his quote-unquote friends around him. I need more money. And I think one of the key lines in this article was, is that he said, so what am I going to do with my $300 million if I get it? What am I going to do? Buy myself another suit? Buy myself another car? Do I really need that? Have a conversation with the guys about a very interesting word called Gashmias. Let me know where the word Gashmias comes from. What three letters are in Gashmias? Geshem. Geshem is a central focus, although we don't think about it a lot. Rabbi Bixen spoke on Shabbos. I assume maybe he spoke to the teens. I assume he gave the same vort. Anybody remember?
Yeah.
It was the vort that they gave on Lessons from the Lathe. So he spoke about that there is a level of... it's hard to believe that this is true. We never think about this. That the water from camp comes actually from not a central water source, but wells that are all around. So it's conceivable, although I don't think it's ever happened, that there's been no rain all summer. I mean, my wife would cry, you know, on the waterfront if they're right. But there would potentially be a problem. We never think about this. But Geshem is Gashmias because it provides sustenance. Everybody used to be farmers. And if there's no Gashmias, you got a big problem. So Gashmias in its simple level is important to have a little Gashmias. You need Gashmias. But you have to talk to them, what is Gashmias? Talk to the guys about, you know, what kind of car do you want to drive when you get out of college? And then challenge them. I don't know if you can go to this level and say to them, what car do your parents drive? I don't know if you want to be that extreme. And say, do you want to drive that? Why do you need to drive that car? Right? Let's take an example. Right? I don't know. Guy's in an Infiniti, is a Lexus. So why does he need that car over, I don't know, a Camry? Can anybody explain that to me? Is it really a better car? Yeah, what do you think?
Some people use it for
work. For work, meaning?
Like some people have clients.
Right, so that's a potential. It's the only heter I hear of. I mean, I don't say heter. I don't mean to be, you know. But there are salespeople, and I know somebody like this who told me the story, who's actually a great guy, years ago when I was living in America. So he told me he drives. I said, what are you driving? He goes, it has nothing to do with me. He goes, literally, he's a medical salesman. He says, when I pull in for a meeting, he says, I know the doctors open the window and they look to see what car I have. I say, is this guy successful or not? Right? Imagine, you know, the guy pulls up in a beat up, you know, Toyota, you know, whatever. A Nissan Sentra. It's got a car I have. And, but in general, it's interesting. Now, I hear it. You're going to tell me about minivans now. There's a safety rating and the Odyssey is better than the, okay, maybe, I don't know. But it's an interesting question to get with the guys about Gashmias. I'll tell you something that unfortunately I'm guilty of. Okay? I have a Minog Yisrael that I started last year that I think it's appropriate for the Rosh BMP to be mechubad and wear a button-down shirt every day. But Erev Shabbos k'minog minog Medinas America, dress down Friday. So I wear a polo shirt. I don't know why. That's what I started to do. So good example. Last week I wore something called Hollister. This week I'm wearing Banana Republic. Let me ask you a question. Why did I spend an extra $5, $12? I don't know how much I spent. I could have just bought this shirt in Levi's, which was $4.99. What's the difference? Why do we have to wear it? So please don't give me, yeah, what are you going to say? Don't say it. Go ahead, say it, because I can scream at you. Go ahead, please say it. Say it! What? Oh, that's a good answer. I thought you were going to say something else. Most people will say, most of your campers will say, which is important, this is what I want to get out of them. It's better clothes. It's made better. Really? So I unfortunately, I mean, now have even more, but this year I traveled more than I usually travel at a number of recruiting trips. So I was, you know, on the recruiting trips, you sometimes have downtime. For example, if you're recruiting, we went to like, I went on this 5-day tour of seven different states and countries, and so like the nights you weren't recruiting or anything. So like you go to a mall. So I was buying a lot of stuff, and I was like, yeah, I'll treat myself. This sale, that sale, and I came home and I got a lot of stuff from Tommy Hilfiger and from Banana. And it's amazing, like, after a few months, like, a lot of stuff ripped, a lot of, you know, like, it's so much better, right? And just to talk about our previous shurim, you know, a lot of people don't return. I actually bought my son a bunch of shirts. I bought him this nice Shabbos shirt, white, nice Shabbos shirt from Tommy. Like, I actually, he's like, oh, Dad, this is amazing. And as he, like, took it out of the nice, you know, wrapping it's in, the whole shirt was ripped right here, meaning a nice, like, a rip from, you know, apparently Inspector Number 12 wasn't in that day. So I don't know, is it really better? Again, I'm guilty of this. But this is a question to ask the guys. And it comes to the next source, which is such a, you know, again, these are easy sources to go with the guys. Ask them, where's this pasuk from? See if they know. Then you can give them the clue. You say it twice a day, three times a day. Says Rashi, "Bechol meodecha, bechol mamoncha, yesh lecha adam shemoynim chaviv ala begufo lechein nemar bechol meodecha." Rashi, with all your might, meaning with all your money, for there are some people whose property is more beloved to them, their selves. Therefore, the first states. You must love God with all your money. Sometimes money is the factor that risks our spirituality. The gashmius, the geshem, becomes more than the ruchnius. And often we have challenges in life of exactly that. What does that mean to love Hashem? Now I'm going to ask you a question. What does it mean to love Hashem with all your money? What does that mean? Yeah? For staka. Okay. Possible.
But that's coming from Hav.
Say again?
Right.
The hafta, of course, the famous vort, comes from Hav, is to give. To give of your money. I found in my career in business that one of the most impressive ways that people give is when they give somebody else a job. Is when they're successful and they give you time, they talk to you, and they make you feel good when you don't have a job. Hav is to give. That's true. But it also involves a person recognizing, this is not my money. And we were reminded of this a number of times in our lives. Talk to guys about where they will be when you tell them this. Shabbos. Shabbos is a 7-day or 6-day commemoration of Shesh Yamim Tase Melacha. There are those that hold it's a chiyuv. Tell the kol guys, Tase Melacha. You're supposed to do work. Why? You feel on Friday, oh my God, I can't do anything. 4:15 Fridays. The guy's working on the big business deal. And he's got to leave. He's got to now way gashmius is ruchnius. That extra deal. Not checking his phone on Shabbos. That's weekly. We then have sukkahs, where we actually sit outside in a hut. We sit outside and say, God, I realize this could be me. And unfortunately, we don't do it as much as we should, by the way. People, mamas, sleep there, do everything there. Every moment, we say, I could live here. You don't have more rains in the sukkah? This could be me. Thank you, Hashem. Shemitah year. We're not Shemitah Jews anymore. We don't feel it as much because that's not our job. Imagine if there was a law in the Torah that said, no. Shemitah is just what they used to do then. They used to be farmers. Anybody who works, on the 7th year, you're not allowed to work. You have to go to kolel. I don't know how much of orthodoxy would be around anymore. But the concept is exactly this. B'chol me'odecha.
Why doesn't Rashi bring down the other man down more in the Mishnah and Brachos?
Meaning? Go ahead.
Meaning that it's only one of them.
I can't answer a question on Rashi. I don't know. Why didn't Rashi bring that? Yeshecha Adam Shemamon Chaviv Olam Migufa. How many people do we know? How many stories can we tell that their money is more important to them than their, even their life?
Oh,
what?
Marcy said about Sadiqan.
That what? Right. Because, exactly. It's a great, that great comment you can make is that you can go ahead and tell people, but is that a bad thing? It could be a good thing. Because we see, who's the, I think the greatest example, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu went for Pachim Kitanim. We cheap Jew, what, you need to go and get the extra jugs? No, he realized that everything was from Hashem. And he went there because he recognized, how can I leave something? It's Baltashkas. There was a, I don't know if he's still around, there was a guy who used to sell grape juice every Friday in YU. He would go from door to door. And guys would buy, he was like a salesman for Kedem. And guys would buy, and guys actually felt bad for him. They would buy more than they needed. And I remember the way he would handle the money when you would give him money. You know, how much was he making? I don't know. You'd give him, you know, the $1.05 for the bottle of grape juice, and he would hold the money like almost kid, like, oh, Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave me a little bit extra, a little bit more. Question is, do we feel that at all? We then quote the next level here, which I think is a very important discussion, which is Lifnim Mishuras Adin. And it's a pasuk in Mishle, Laman Teilech Bederech Tovim Berachtot Tzadikim Tishmor. In order that you go in the path of the good people and keep their ways of righteous people. How do we interpret this? That a person should go beyond what we consider to be the letter of the law. And this is the Gemara, the last Gemara here, source number 6. The last Gemara. This is the Gemara in Bava Metzia. I think this points out a very good example that we should tell our campers. And this is the Gemara that speaks about Rabbi Bar Chana, who had a keg. If you want to read it in English, that's fine. The Gemahu Otu Amr L'Rav. His workers broke a keg. This is a big deal, right? You guys know from drinking, right? Keg is a big deal. So, rightfully so, the halacha, they had to pay him back. He said, give me your glima, give me your cloaks, give me your jackets as collateral to make sure that he would get paid. So the workers went to tell on him, and they went to Rav. Rav says, you're right. The pasuk that we just read. You have to dim lefim mishuras adin. So Rava instructs Rava Bar Bar Chana, give it back to them. He says, that's not the law. Amar lei in. Urcha tzadik dishmar leslan mida. Amar lei zilhav. But that's the way that we follow. There's the letter of the law, and then this calling called the Shem of Jewish Adin. We have to be machmir because the money will come back to us. The money will come back to us. There is a story I once heard about a great tzaddik who passed away, and when he died, the family was going through his inheritance, and they found a bank account which was in his name, and the name of the account was Shalom. And they see checks written out, and they didn't know what it was until at the Shiva people explained to him what it was. He had an account that he called the Shalom account, and it was an account when he knew in his heart that he was right about something and he wouldn't pay the person, he would take the money out of the Shalom account. He had a certain amount of money there, and he said, listen, even though I know I'm right, I don't have to pay this. I don't have to. Just to make Shalom, I might as well. And it made him feel better because he knew that I'm still right, but I have a Shalom account.
Wasn't Rabbi Bar Bar Chana banned by Kihi Kisuso Levada anyway?
Yeah. Meaning?
It's not like Henry Shimon said he had to return the cloaks anyway.
At night he would have to return it, let's say. Right. The halacha is that we generally say, not generally, the halacha is that if a person doesn't have any more cloaks, I'm not sure exactly the case, Mitzias, if they had, right, they were poor, so Mestama they didn't, but he was telling them, I think at that point they had to return it. That you had to act with the Mishra Zatim based on the Pasuk here in Mishle. So, just to wrap up, what we want to try to get out of the Shabbos is the concept of who are we, what are we, what are we going to become? Do we think the story about Malden Mills is crazy, or is that the way Jews should act? How do we interpret B'chol Me'odecha, B'chol Mamuncha? Why does the Gemara tell us that being honest in business is more important than anything else? Again, there's a lot of discussion here. And then, of course, the concept of Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. Sometimes you're right. You're right. But right isn't always right. Meaning, sometimes you say to yourself, I want to do even better. And I think that this is the central concept that we have to get towards them. And really, it's fun because it can really open up a discussion when we started talking about cars and we talk about those. Say, really, that's who you want to be? Let them think about that. Mirtz Hashem with that hadracha. So we'll be able to help in inspiring this week on this topic.